Ramble.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hello, everybody. Welcome to You Can Sit With Us. We are so happy that you are here. And I'm Ariel, one of your hosts, and I'm joined by Becky.
Hi.
And Rachel.
Hello.
And today we, so Becky and I were in a cab the other day and we were talking about movies. And I realized that Becky had never seen Dances with Wolves.
Never.
And I was
never
like,
seen, never seen it.
How do you know how sex works? And
Errol, I'm obviously still a virgin.
Obviously. Yeah. And so it got us talking about movies that had shaped us.
Yeah.
Miles is obsessed with the sexual awakening part of this.
Okay. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Are you listening?
You locked in and said you had different sexual awakenings for films. You make me sound like a pervert.
He's obsessed with it.
Miles
in the corner, like, yeah, talk about
it.
Come on, ladies. It's so funny.
Dances with Wolves with your sexual awakening, Ariel?
Does he have sex with a wolf?
No.
Does he have sex like a wolf?
Does he dance with the wolves?
He does. Okay, so Dances with Wolves. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
It's Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, and it's a story about like the early colonization of America, mm-hmm. right? And so it's a really really long movie.
In a good way.
In a really good way, yeah. But I mean, I'm sure now it's like very problematic because he finds himself in a tribe.
Oh boy,
yeah. Yeah, I mean it's uh-oh, Dances boy. With Wolves. Like
we're entering shaky ground.
Yes, and they like accept him as one of them, and he falls in love with like the daughter of the of the chief. And
is this just Pocahontas?
Yeah,
that's like Disney's Pocahontas.
Except he's like a nobody. You know, okay. he's like an infantryman or something like that.
That wasn't that what John Smith was?
Maybe.
I thought John Smith was like a leader.
Yeah, I thought he was like a leader. Anywho.
We don't know.
But they like take him in. You know, It wasn't like, because he was like,
he lost?
I have no idea. I can't remember now. All I can think of is.
Okay, how old were you when you watched this movie?
Probably. So I'm pretty sure, we were talking about like being at your grandmother's house.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was at my grandmother's house. And we were watching this movie. And you know, like everybody sitting in the same room together, and there is this very drawn out sex scene where, you know, like the whole time they're all wearing, it's like winter and they're wearing like furs and, you know, like period clothing and all of the clothing comes off inside of this hot, you know, teepee.
Oh boy.
Uh-huh.
Oh boy.
Oh God.
Oh boy.
And there's like
okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. Yep. Oh boy. Like furs on the
Oh boy.
But yeah, it was pretty intense, like very close up like videography.
and camera work.
And what do you of like recall sweat happening to you as you watched?
I recall looking around the room at my family and being like, am I the only one seeing this? Like,
you guys see how happening?
How long is this scene? Like, what is going on here? And then I do remember looking it up later, being like thinking about how good that scene was, and then finding it myself later.
What do you mean looking it up?
I mean, on the internet?
There was no internet.
No, there was no internet at that point. We must have had it on VHS.
Yeah.
We must have had it on VHS. So
she's rewinding.
There must have been a rewind situation. But yeah, that was definitely one of the first ones for me. I was probably, like 12, 13, something like that. Okay.
So was it only your sexual awakening or did it shape who you are today? Based on what you've told me. I hope
Ariel
not.
No. Only likes to wear furs ahead of.
Yes. No, I think it was really more of a sexual awakening than anything else.
Oh. We were talking about right before this too. I had said Casper, but not as a joke.
If I don't think that's a joke.
It is 100% not a joke.
I think that's not
Devin
a joke.
Seeing Devin Sawa
to
go from baby Casper, who has like a baby voice, to like this teenager. And I'm not
It was not my sexual awakening, but I am
but you
right
remember
there with
it,
you.
Right?
Yeah. It was hot as fuck.
And I was young. And I remember being like, and he like whispers in her ear, can I keep you? And I was like, I was like, I'm straight.
Confirmed.
Dang. Yeah.
Confirmed.
That is so funny.
Yeah, I loved it.
Did you not have like, a Devin Sawa thing? Because I had a big Devin Sawa thing. I was going to marry him.
100%. Yeah. Did you watch Idle Hands?
No.
Oh, that sounds sexy.
Yeah, it's with him. And I want to say it's like Jessica.
Was that later?
Alba's. Yeah, it was when he was a teenager. Oh. It was like maybe Jessica Alba's first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those like classic like 90s or early aught. It had to have been 90s because he's like he's much older. Movies where like it was one of those like stoner horror movies that was also like had some little sexual moments, but he was like a stoner, and you know, idle hands, what do they say? Idle hands are more easily influenced or something like that.
Oh,
but it's
know.
Like an old saying that's basically nice. If you're lazy, the devil's going to get you. And so the devil got him and he had this hand that would have a mind of its own. And it was evil and wanted to kill people.
That's so creepy.
That sounds really intense.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
It was great. It was great.
Loved it.
Did that shape you?
Not that movie in particular, because I think I was older when that movie came out. But when I think of like childhood movies, I watched Labyrinth like probably 1,000 times, like whenever, like latchkey, the word,
yes,
the word
yes,
I
yes,
learned
latchkey here.
Kid. Latchkey kid, yeah.
I called it TV babysitter, but TV babysitter was Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. And like even when we had like actual babysitters, they were usually like kids in the neighborhood. We would watch Labyrinth and they would like call my parents and be like, are you okay with this? Are you sure this is... They're like, it's kind of scary. It's kind of weird.
And your like, parents were fine. Like, it's fine.
They're
seen
like, it's
it.
Fine. She's seen it 100 times.
Wait, is that the one with David Bowie in it?
It is. Dance. Magic dance.
Keith and I saw the puppets from Labyrinth in Atlanta. We went to the puppet museum.
He sent me a picture of the, because I love the little worm. Said,
the worm
said,
is freaky.
Hello. I love it.
You
it's
love
so
it.
It's so cute. And he said they had the doors where they make you pick in the riddle. Have you seen Labyrinth? Yeah.
I think I have because I remember the creepy feeling of the movie. You
so
know,
it shaped you too.
I have no idea what the story is. I just remember David Bowie.
Yeah.
And now that you're mentioning puppets, I could not have pulled puppets out of that. Mm-hmm. I do not remember. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're like Jim. Puppets. It's Jim Henson, right?
Yeah. I think Jim Henson. The puppets. Whole puppet museum. No, it wasn't. There was like world puppets and then there was like Jim Henson puppets.
Yeah. But it's the girl from, or the woman, who's the woman in Labyrinth? She's like a famous actor now, but she was obviously a child actor at the time, but she has a little brother and she gets mad at him and she's like, oh, I wish the Goblin King would come take you away because you're a baby and you're ruining my life. And then David Bowie's like, I hear you, girl. I'm coming. And he comes and he snatches that baby. And then she has to go into the labyrinth to save the baby.
Yeah.
Is it like a baby?
It's a baby baby.
And I watched the scene with all these demons around this baby just sitting in the middle, like actually just screaming. And I was like, that's actual child torture. That baby looks scared. And they're all like hopping around, all these puppet creations. I was looking at this behind the scenes. I was like, no, we can't do that. That child looks really scared.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm sure there's not like, well, did you ever hear the kids in, I think it was it The Shining? Where they're the two little girls. Mm-hmm. They didn't know it was a scary movie when they filmed it. So because the kids weren't there for anything like scary.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I wonder like what that baby from Labyrinth, like what kind of like nightmares it has.
But
now.
Yeah, the baby sitting there and all those creepy puppets dancing around and it's just screaming. That baby's in distress for real.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
So look, that baby made some money that day.
Sure. Yeah, well.
His parents made some money.
His parents made money.
Because, I mean, were there actual
What do babies
rules
need money for?
For all their baby shopping. Getting little baby purses, little baby cars.
I wish the babies earned their own money for all their baby shopping. They're just spending my money.
Spending mama's money.
Mama's money.
What about you, Rach?
Formative sexual awakening movies.
Yeah. Or just any
regular like, formative
but,
movies.
Definitely tell us your sexual awakening if you
have
that
two,
one.
I have two, really three moments, but two major moments. One is very cliche and you would guess it. And the other one is maybe not cool, but I just, so.
Go on.
The pause.
It can't be worse than Dances with Wolves.
No,
Titanic's
got to
be one of them.
Titanic's
got to
be one of them. And here's the thing about Titanic. As I saw it in the movie theater with my mother and my little sister, who's a few years younger, and when that scene started, my mother sent my sister to buy candy, and she didn't send me. And I was like, I am a woman now. I am a grown-up who's allowed to watch the sex scenes.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
It was incredible. That, like, earmarks for me womanhood. Titanic.
You're like, my mom thinks I'm old enough.
My mom thinks I'm old enough.
I cannot believe that my parents like covered my eyes. They were eye coverers until I was like 18.
I remember specifically seeing The Notebook with my mom and Watchmen with my dad. And they both did like a hand. And I think for Watchmen, I was like, I had to have been like 16 or 17. I was like,
oh,
Dad.
Dad.
Stop it.
The other like... doesn't count one. And then I'll tell you the one I got caught rewinding is Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yes.
The Baz Luhrmann one,
The one with Claire Danes and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Of course. Yeah. I am Claire Danes. Like 100%. In my mind to this day, I'm still Claire Danes.
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio really got me.
Also, we had Paul Rudd. Yeah. We had John Leguizamo being like kind of sexy and that was strange for everyone involved.
Yeah. Though Titanic and Romeo and Juliet are like why I am a romantic person.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It shaped me fully. This other movie did not shape me, but I got caught rewinding it. So we went to Blockbuster. We rented it. We watched it as a family. I think my eyes got covered or I was told to go away. And then I came back and rewound to find the part I was told to go away for. And that movie was Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Forrest Gump, so they didn't want you to see the Jenny.
Yeah, Jenny.
Jenny scene.
Jenny, they didn't want me to see. And I got caught replaying it. My mom was like, what are you doing? I was like, I just really wanted to rewatch The Running. I don't know what
I wanted to watch The Running.
She obviously knew what was going on and she like took it and put it away. I wasn't allowed to see it. That's why when I saw Titanic later and I got to stay, it was like, I am an adult.
Okay, so now that you are a mom with two girls, if you caught them rewinding to
a
sex
scene, let's watch it.
Yeah, like let's have a conversation
what
about this.
Do you have?
Also, are you too embarrassed to talk about it? That's okay. You can watch it.
Yeah.
Like, sex and having sex with people is something you're going to do and it's not taboo.
Right.
Go ahead and watch it. That is sexy.
Like, it's okay that you're feeling those feelings.
And it's okay if you don't want to talk to me about it.
Yeah.
That's fine. That does feel a little embarrassing, doesn't it? Okay, you can watch it. Like, give me a break.
I feel like I would totally be an oversharer, and I'd be like, let me tell you about my first.
Oh, boy.
You know? When they rewind and they play, I'm going to be like,
Rachel, let me babysit your girl.
I'll invite Auntie Ariel over, and she'll bring some Chardonnay, and we'll really get into it.
All the deets.
I'm coming for you, twins.
Because, like, maybe it's too embarrassing to talk to me, but you guys can talk to Ariel.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You can talk to Auntie Ariel.
Auntie Ariel.
Because you know my boys are not going to want to talk to me about it.
No. Yeah, probably not.
Your boys are just going to be like, can you wash my laundry, Mom? And you'll be like, yeah, I got it. It's fine.
I got you, baby. It's okay. I got you. I got you. Do you need more socks?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Ariel.
No, that's what happens. I can't say.
No.
That's what happens.
Not the socks.
I mean.
Don't bring socks into this.
Or underwear.
Some of us are brothered.
Some of us are brothered.
Listen, I think if you're a mom of boys, that's just the natural progression of things.
I feel like I have just accepted that, like, once the boys hit like puberty.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're going to smell so bad.
They're going to smell so bad.
Of course they are.
Kids like reek.
They're never going to want to cut their hair.
Kids are so smelly. When I did that teaching internship with sixth graders, it's the most rancid classroom. Yeah. I did sixth graders and eighth graders for history and English. Rancid. You walked in and you were like,
oh,
like,
it's because like the hormones in their bodies are all new and they don't know how to process it. And also they're not that good about hygiene or deodorant.
No, and the eighth graders would use like Axe and like sprays.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just like,
what were your thoughts on Axe body spray when we were teenagers?
Oh my God, disgusting.
I did not like it.
I don't like it.
Okay, so just like boy smell in general. Did you
boys
think that
who
boys
smelled like Axe? For me is like a college association and is like, ew, no, stay far away.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
You liked Axe?
No, it's I didn't love Axe.
It's too much.
I did Abercrombie Fierce. That was like the scent of high school and college to me.
I did like boys who smelled good. You know, I also liked girls who smelled good.
Yeah,
you know?
I also like boys who smelled good.
Yeah.
But like most of the boys I've dated in my whole life just smell like Old Spice deodorant. Let's get real.
Old Spice, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
And smell is just very sexy to me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
On girls
and
boys.
It's so nostalgic.
Yeah.
Like if I, to this day, smell like a Victoria's Secret perfume, I'm like, eighth grade. Eighth grade.
If I smell Sweet Pea from
Bath
and Body Works.
Yes.
Or I think Stila had a Sweet Pea.
Oh, really?
Perfume for a little while. Yeah.
And
fancy.
You brought this up before, but Clinique Happy is like
Clinique Happy.
It takes me right back to high school.
100%. And what was that one? There was one that came in like a gosh, I can't. I can see the bottle. I can see the bottle right now. I don't even think that they make it anymore. I'm going to look it up. You guys keep talking about scent. I'm going to find this
talking
one.
About scent.
Scent.
Yeah, I just think kids smell bad.
Yeah, I think they do too. They need
in general
more showers, more deodorant,
yeah,
and probably less hormones. Yeah. I think like when I was pregnant, I didn't smell bad, but I was sweaty in places that I'm never sweaty. Like everything, there was just so much sweat. And I think it was all the extra like hormones.
Keith and I must have a lot of hormones racing through our body at all times. We must be so hormonal because we
you're
are
sweaty.
Sweaty. Our future children like, have zero chance.
I would wake up in the morning from just sleeping all night and my feet would be like actively sweating. I was like, that's hormones. And I just, maybe I also didn't smell good. I can't recall.
I definitely didn't smell good.
But I think that's what happens to kids in puberty is the hormones are just racing through their bodies and they smell terrible.
Okay. Talk about hormones racing through your body. So I looked this up, the other day. Well, not the other day, a couple of years ago. because
I did my research in 2018.
Because when I was, breastfeeding both times, I could not wear enough deodorant. It was so stinky. And guess what? It's your hormones actually make you more stinky so that your baby can smell you. So that they can come find you like in the night or whatever to eat.
Oh, so you're supposed to smell stronger.
Uh-huh.
But it's not a nice smell.
Not a nice smell. Mm. It's just a body smell.
Huh.
Yeah. It does make you realize that like smell is natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
But your a sixth grade classroom is a rank place.
Rank yeah. place. Like
nasty.
Teachers already do a lot, but to have yeah. to deal with that on I top know. Of it.
Well,
like
at the school I used to teach at, the all the fourth through sixth graders were on the fourth and fifth floors. It was a really tall building because it was in New York. And I would just skip those floors at all costs. I was like, I'm never going up there. Mm-hmm. It's smelly. People are crying. People are upset. No one, people are fighting for the first time ever. I was just like, I pretend that those floors don't exist.
Yeah.
Middle school is rough. I don't want to be there.
Middle school is rough.
Wes already only wears like 3 t-shirts. He's very particular about the shirts that he wears. Aww. He wears one that says Rocket Science. He wears the one with the mouth, which is the Rolling Stones. Uh-huh. And then he wears Spidey.
You want a weird Aww. Mom confession on smell?
Yes.
Go for it.
I really, really, really love the smell of the girl's morning breath. And I think that is just some weird animal thing in so with me. No. Like when they're laying in my arms and they yawn, I'm like...
I do that with Alfred. I like his stinky mouth. I like his stinky little mouth. Not the kittens, though. The kitten smells like actual shit. But Alfred, his stinky breath is like, oh, he's so sweet.
Yeah, their little stinky morning breath really gets me. And I just think no one else loves this on planet Earth but me. No one else will ever love you like this.
What does it smell like?
I don't know. It just smells like... warm and like I don't know, it like just smells stinky. Like them. It smells a little stinky.
Yeah,
I love so it though. How strange.
Well,
how
you strange. Know I, that's not strange. That's, I like that. I think like, it's cute.
There's like an actual way, like people who have bad breath, usually it's something that's going on in their digestive system or something like that, you know, if it's not, you know, like in their teeth. But so that's probably a like an evolutionary thing where if you know, you like the smell of their breath because they're healthy and, you know, but then if the smell changed,
I would be like, would what's know, going on with you guys?
You'd be like, is something wrong with your gut bacteria? Like what's going on here?
Are you not flossing every night?
Oh my God. Our pediatrician, our 3-year appointment told me to floss the girl's teeth once a day, every day. And I was like, another thing.
Us too.
Another.
And I
have
brush twice, floss once, even for Finn. And he only has 4 teeth.
I was going to say, how many? Well, at least it's fast.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I know. She told me this like a week ago. I haven't started yet.
You could get the girls to do it themselves. You get them a little pick.
All right. I'll try that.
Yeah. They have like flavored picks. That's what I did for Wes. I was like, okay, you do it, buddy. Because he won't let me get in his mouth.
He won't let you in there. He'll chomp at you.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to smell that stinky breath?
Yeah. Exactly. I don't. I honestly you, don't.
That's
think
not
I
your thing.
Ever smell that stinky breath.
Oh man. Yeah.
I don't think he lets me get that close to him first thing in the morning.
Oh.
He's a big kid now.
Oh. I know.
Yeah.
No. Poppy needs me to like hold her for 20 minutes after she wakes up.
Oh. Same. Yeah. Same. I feel
come
that.
Come over, Becky. Come over. I'll hold you.
Yeah, this morning, Keith and I were like, we're going to wake up at 6. We're going to work out. Mm-hmm. It'll be great. And we haven't seen each other in like 2 weeks because we keep like overlapping. So it was the first like morning we got to be together. And I just snuggled in and was like, no.
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 No. No workout.
And Alfred and Grandpa Barry came in and they're like,
And you're like, no, it's cuddle
like,
time. No.
Yeah. So I just slept like an extra 30 minutes. I was like, I'm staying here. Let me in.
That
sounds way better and healthier. For your mental health than working out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Though I did find this new YB has, so she also has an Oculus and an Oculus and she does this workout called Supernatural. And you guys, it is so fun. I have never been so excited to work out in my life.
Do I need an Oculus?
Yeah. So it'd be a very expensive investment for you to both do because it's already like a subscription-based service.
Oh my God.
So to have to buy the Oculus on top of it, I'd probably recommend just doing your normal workouts. But if you have an Oculus.
I love that you think I have normal workouts, but go
ahead.
It's
so good. It's like you can do boxing and you can also do this one called Flow. That's kind of like Beat Saber, but it's all to like, there's like new music. I also did one that was like musicals. And even though 2 of the musicals were boring, they did end with Hairspray. So it was like, beep, beep, beep.
Hairspray is the best.
Wait, so what were the boring musicals?
It was, what's the Catherine McPhee one that she did? With the tap dancing sailors.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Dolly? Mm-hmm. It was Hello, Dolly. Mm. And then the one before that was just an old musical. It was like old, like something. But they have like coaches that tell you what to do, and you like punch, 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 and you do squats, and you're like punch, punch.
And were you sweating?
Literally so profusely. I asked on my Instagram the other day, I was like, all right, if you use an Oculus or even if you don't, like how does your head not, like I am like wet when I'm done working out. Like it looks like I jumped in a pool. And that could be any, even light going on the treadmill and just strutting around, damp head. And everyone's like, you just need to like hit it with a cold blow dryer. I tried it once. It took me 45 minutes to dry
your hair.
And I don't have that much hair. I was like, I can never do that again. Then they were like, just rinse your head and you don't have to actually use soap. And so I did that. And then my hair was stuck to my head.
Yeah. Now you have like, to do full showers.
I just do full showers. I am like, I follow most like beauty and hair rules. But when they're like, you should really only wash your hair once a week, I'm like,
once
a
week?
It is literally impossible. I have to wash it every other day.
I wash mine every other day. Yeah. I can't do once
can't
a
do,
week.
I can't do more than
every other day. And if I go any longer than that, and usually I have to do dry shampoo like in the in-between times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And on the other days, my hair looks bad.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
So it's fine today. Washed it this morning.
I washed
Tuesday
it this morning
will be
too.
A bad hair day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a hat day.
100%.
Yeah. It is a hat day.
Yeah. Easy.
I've been embracing color more in my outfits.
Excuse me. Look down at your outfit.
I was wearing pink before I spilled something on it. But look at my nails.
Your nails are colorful.
Aren't they?
Your outfit is fully black and white.
My outfit
blue.
Is fully black and white. You are so right.
But if you had pink on this morning, that is a big
exactly.
step.
I
You're
was
typically
wearing
a
pink.
Black and white gal.
I know. So I have been embracing color more and just like
Why
trying.
Is that?
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. What
are you going through a fashion revolution?
Maybe I am.
Yeah.
Maybe I am. I think I got bored.
I know.
Yeah.
Sometimes this is so privileged to say, but sometimes I just look in my closet and I'm like, I don't love you anymore.
I know.
Okay, but is it like the first day before your period?
Yes, always. Always. And then I'm like,
that's always how I know my period's coming.
Every month, right before my period, I'm like, I need to go on a diet. And then I get my period and I'm like, nah, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm We're fine. Yeah. We hate ourselves for just a second and then our period starts and we understand what's going on.
I always know when my period's about to start because I feel this like deep need to organize things.
Oh.
And throw things away. You know, or like give things away, like go through and like, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this, you know?
Yeah.
And then a couple of days later, I'm like, I don't have the energy to do that.
Yeah. You're in the middle of the project and you're like, oh no, that's over.
Yeah. We're done with that.
Yeah. I have that like the 3 days before my period, cause I have PMDD, which is like your PMS on steroids. So it's basically like all of the symptoms of PMS times like 30.
Can I get a notification for when Becky is about to be
literally right? 100%.
Do not ask her to do anything.
Bring Becky a present.
Yeah.
Keith knows. He's like, it's coming. It's happening. It's like, you stay there, honey. Just lay.
Just lay. Stay
don't
there.
Do anything. Yeah. I like.
You're like.
I don't
like
want any
throwing
food.
Throwing Grandma Barry across the room.
100%. It's all food. Sounds awful. There's nothing that I want to eat, but I also want to eat everything. Mm-hmm. Every item of clothing I hate and want to throw away. Mm-hmm. I threaten to like burn the house down, which I would never actually do. That's just an empty threat.
Of course.
But I'm just like. Do you
Thanks
that,
for clarifying.
Those moments you get, like, where you're like so mad and you're like, I hate everything. This is the worst. Mm-hmm. But it's only the 3 to 4 days before my period. Once my period starts, all that goes away. And it's just a normal period with like normal cramping. Mm-hmm. But before that, I'm just like hella depressed, hella anxious.
Yeah.
Hate everything.
I also hate everything. Like I look around, I'm like, life has no joy. And then my period starts.
Yeah.
I know.
Or you become very nihilistic. Like I always feel like right before my period, I'm like, I'm going to throw all the recycling in the garbage can. Nothing matters.
Nothing matters. I love that that's your nothing matters.
Nothing matters.
I'm going to throw all the recycling
This doesn't
garbage
matter.
Nothing. Have you guys seen on TikTok the fact that like men's hormonal cycles are a 24-hour period, and so that's how like the workday was formed, but women's are a 26 to 28-day cycle, a month long, and that if women had shaped how I don't know, capitalism functions, mm-hmm. uh-huh. that we would have like days off in the middle and rest periods and high intensity, like that really organizing yep. thing, like high intensity periods uh-huh. in like the luteal phase, and that we would have this sort of 28-day work cycle rather than every day sort of the same kind of clip that yeah. ebbed and flowed with like our hormone cycles. And I was like, that would be so crazy because
never heard that.
There are
before.
Days that I could work like 16 hours straight and I would be so productive, oh, so organized, get it. And there are other days where I just need to lay in bed uh-huh. and not move. And instead, we just trudge through every day as if our hormone cycle was 24 hours like a man.
Yeah. Wait, that is fascinating.
Isn't it?
I have never heard anything like that. I feel yeah. like that's one of those things that you read that really changes your perspective on things.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I understand why I have these like weird bad days and these weird like superwoman days. And like, you're like, oh, it's not random. It's not that the sun was just shining extra bright. It's not that I was just good this day and bad that day.
Yeah.
It's that like I am dealing with different chemicals in my body on those days, making me feel different things. Should we play questions you're too afraid to ask your mom?
Yes, let's do it, moms.
Okay.
Moms and me.
Moms and me. Well, these are questions you're too afraid to ask your mom. So you want to ask your cool older friend, Aunt yep. Becky.
Cool Aunt Becky will tell you.
Aunt Becky. Send your kids to Aunt Becky.
Aunt Becky and Auntie Ariel. Yes. How do I play off a fart in the middle of class?
It depends on if it's stinky or loud.
Okay, let's go with stinky first.
Oh, stinky first. Whoever smelt it dealt it.
Whoa.
So you just stay silent?
100%. 100%.
Oh,
what is that not agreed upon way?
Old Ariel is here.
I'm thinking it's silent, so but stinky. Uh-huh.
So then what do you do?
Nothing. You do nothing.
I go into play into the humor.
Have
play
you
into
heard the humor. Those who do the rhyme did the crime.
Oh man. But if it's loud, okay. then you could just be like, sorry. You know, like, no big deal.
I go with the humor of it. I think if you rip a really awful fart, like, yeah. you just go like, oh, I'm literally dying inside.
I'm so sorry.
I just say I like have a rotting animal inside me. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, but it had to come out.
It had to come out.
I had to release the beast.
I taught the girls to say, excuse me, after they fart. And so now sometimes in the evenings, they'll be like, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. Like, oh, that was three, huh?
Oh, that's so
excuse me.
Sweet.
Blurp, blurp.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Okay, that's clearly cute. I was not taught the correct way to do this.
Well, I think it was
Texas, girl. It was a different place.
To be fair, in middle school and high school, I would have rather died than own up to anything. And in fact, like once I remember farting in front of my friends and being like, I just made that noise with my foot on the floor. And they were like, what are you talking about? And I was like, okay, you're right. That was, like, oops, that was hard.
Me.
But as an adult, like you just
own up to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, now I would. I'm imagining being in like class.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In class, it's really hard to do that at 14. I get it. It's hard.
Wait,
kids are mean.
I'm not done with this conversation because I feel like I was not taught the right way, like to do that. You know, mm-hmm. if you had a super stinky fart, I would never own up to that. I just couldn't.
Never. Well,
maybe not never.
Even the other day, the girls and I were like, huh. And I was like, does anyone have to go poop? And, you know, no, everyone's like, no. And they're playing. And then June leaves and she comes back out and she goes, it was my smell. I was like, did you poop? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay.
It was my smell.
It was my smell. She was delighted.
That's so cute.
That is so cute.
She's like, I know my fart. I know my poopy fart.
She was like, I didn't know. We were all smelling my stinky smell, but now I know.
No.
And I also, I feel like, you know, Wes is already, he'll be like, that wasn't me. Or like, he'll joke about like making the noise with his mouth or making the noise with his bottom.
Oh. His bottom.
His bottom. I made that noise with my bottom. Oh, like, oh my yeah, God. Yeah,
he did. I mean, Wes also called his booty hole a toot hole
he
for
did.
A while.
Toot hole.
Toot hole.
Toot hole. Auntie Ariel, Auntie Becky. Yes. We're going to a restaurant before the dance that is too expensive for me. What do I do?
Oh.
That's really hard.
Dilemma. Really hard.
As a grown-up, you just say, that's too expensive for me, bro. Like, we have to go somewhere else.
I'm on a tight budget right now. I can't.
But the way this person says before the dance, it seems like they're young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say what I did is I just wouldn't go. I would be like, oh, my mom said I can't go to dinner, but I can go to the dance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's so sad.
You get such FOMO.
Yeah.
I never really, I feel like I never like really thought about it that much at the time. I was just like, oh yeah, I don't have, you know, I was a kid.
I have the cash.
I don't have cash.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're not in control of the situation to change the restaurant, is there a way to eat at home beforehand and then just like get something tiny?
Yeah, but then you could run into the terrible situation like, where everybody wants to split everything, which as an adult, I'm very okay with and like
100%
also like love it and don't really even think, because like, again, since my parents don't drink, there were a lot of times we'd go out to dinner with other family friends and they go, oh, let's just split it evenly. And so I never, my parents never said like, oh, well, I didn't get the wine or I didn't get whatever. It was always like, oh, no, we're all going out. Right, so like everybody splits everything. That's fine.
But as a grown up, you are in control of your disposable income or lack thereof and your finances. And I feel like you just have so much more social sway to be like, that place is really expensive. Could we go here?
Yeah.
If you are a teen in a group teen spot and someone's picked somewhere for before the dance, I feel like you don't have as much say to be like, can we go get pizza?
Yeah. Just blame your parents.
Yeah. Easy. That's good.
Yeah.
You're right.
Easy. But call it out at the beginning. You know, at least say to like a couple of people, like, this is too expensive for me.
Or no, that's embarrassing. Just saying, my parents said I can't go.
Yeah.
I'll meet you at the dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause then you don't really have to like explain anything, and your parents honestly probably won't mind that you're blaming them for that.
They'll never know.
Yeah.
And if there was one person that was kind of planning the whole thing, you could also go to them and say, this is a little bit too expensive. Can we do something else?
I know. That feels embarrassing when you're little, though.
I know.
It really does.
I say, lie. Blame your parents.
Okay. Aunties, tips for changing at a sleepover or a locker room so no one can see your body.
Oh, stalls.
Yes. Well,
like the bathroom stall.
Good question. I was a nudist as a child. Not really, but there were definitely times when I wanted to like shield. I feel like the two friends holding up a towel is a good one. That one usually works out pretty well. This is in a locker room or where?
These questions are from younger women, it seems.
I'd say go into the bathroom stall.
Bathroom stall is always available
bathroom
to
stall,
you.
Yeah, for sure. Or wrap a towel and then pants on first and then... Because I do this, I'll do this at, you know, in like a spa or something like that where, you know, you just don't really want to have everything out there. And
maybe you don't.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I do.
I did go to the Korean spa with my girlfriends once. And as an adult, it was like one of those things where you're like, oh, I haven't been naked in front of my friends before. Like, that's not something we do all the time.
I went to the Korean spa a lot pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Naked with a lot of other women.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It was bodies on display.
Right.
Body
all
parade.
Different shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ages.
Ages.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, I see the future. Gravity. Wow.
I just also feel like I realized too, doing that, I was like, nobody's looking at you.
Right.
You
everyone's
know what I mean?
Thinking like, about themselves.
Everyone's thinking about yourself. So I was like, honestly, like too self-conscious about my own body starting like in the K-spa to look at anyone else.
Right.
And then one of my girlfriends, who it was her birthday, who wanted to go, got this massage and she had to run out and like rinse in between the massage. And we just saw full everything. And it was like, okay, we did it. We saw
It's done.
We saw it. It's fine.
But then you sit in your mugwort bath and you're like, I can't really see under there.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, this is fine. This is normal. These are bodies.
Yeah.
Bodies are bodies.
Absolutely.
No one's thinking about you as much as you're thinking about you.
Everybody's thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can understand how.
Yeah. But when you're younger, it can feel really, and you know,
stressful.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
Yeah. It's very stressful.
I say change in the bathroom if you're at a sleepover. And change in the bathroom stall. Cool. Because if you're in a locker room, there should be some closed stalls for like pooping.
Your pre-gym poop.
All right, last one. How do I pretend I did the reading when I didn't? First of all, do your homework.
Although there were definitely times. I'm quite a slow reader, or at least I was when I was in like middle school and high school. I probably still am. I just don't have to read as much, you know? And so there were definitely times when I only did a little bit of the reading. I got really good at speed reading. So kind of reading for, to pull out like...
Like skimming.
Yeah, kind of skimming. Especially if it's like a textbook or something like that. If it's a, you know, like a novel and you have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, if it was right now, I would go to Cliff Notes.
Oh, yeah.
And just read what the synopsis was. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, I feel like, well, I did a lot of my reading because I did enjoy reading. Mm-hmm. But when it was a book that I didn't like, shout out to Once and Future King, the worst book ever written.
What?
They just spent like 4 pages describing flags. And I was like, why would anyone write this novel?
I've never heard of this book.
It's like a King Arthur book.
Okay.
I've heard of it.
Parts of it are good and parts of it are like just the longest descriptions you've ever heard for flags and chairs and horses.
Okay. I would rather have hot fairies making hot love.
100%. Uh-huh. I would just ask a friend.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I would ask like whoever's close to me and be like, hey, okay, what was this?
But here's the question. The Both of Help. All of that advice is for what you should be doing beforehand. You're sitting in class. You didn't do the reading. Mm-hmm. You didn't do any of this. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Find a vague subject to discuss at length. Because the teacher will just be happy that you're talking. So if you can hold on to one thing.
The grammar in this reading passage was really well done.
Or if you like know about like a theme or kind of know like.
Yeah.
That's what I would say is lean into the one thing you know about it and then just try and talk as long as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until they forget what the question was.
That's what the teacher wants anyway. Or she just wants a conversation.
Or don't talk. You could hide.
You could just hope for the best.
And honestly, if you get called out, just own up to it and say,
in college lit classes, we would go around the room and everyone would have to say,
like, if they read it.
I mean, they were small, like there were 8 people in this class. So like we'd go around and everyone would have to talk. So you were too scared to never do the reading. I was.
Okay, so I don't know if I've told you guys this before, but like I dreaded English classes.
Really?
Yeah. I hated doing a lot of reading because reading makes me fall asleep.
Yeah, me too.
And I hated writing essays. There was just something about it that I never like my essays, you know, I got used to it, but they were always very like, I don't know. I never excelled at. I loved science classes, math classes. Like,
you're a STEM girl.
I liked the ones where I could like physically do something to like have something happen in the class. You know, like I was always very quiet in class.
English.
Yeah, in English because I never knew what to say. I could never pull themes out.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
Well, because you were a science baby.
I was like, the STEM. Book was good. It was a book, you know?
It was a book. There were words. See, I was polar opposite. We really? Would have made the perfect person. Yeah. I could not
We do still would.
Math. We still couldn't do math or science to save my life, but got to not take history and English in college because I did my AP courses in it. So I was in like remedial math and AP history. English. Yeah. It was like, you could definitely see how my brain worked.
That is so funny. Yeah. Everybody's brain works so differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still dread like writing, you know, long things.
Oh, I definitely couldn't do it now.
Yeah.
Oh definitely yeah. I couldn't write a paper now.
No.
I was so too good at rules. It then. And now I'm just like, ew, no. Do you want to hop on the phone and have a conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
I'll tell you about it.
I was never good at it. It was such a slog for me. Such a slog.
Did you have to do a college dissertation?
Yeah. And
How long was it?
I waited 60 pages.
Oh my God, you do
what
one?
Is that? No, I went to a public school in Illinois. I did not get my master's.
I didn't get my master's.
I had to do the longest paper I had to write was maybe like 8 or 9 pages for like my junior and senior dissertation level class.
Why do you write a dissertation? For what purpose?
It's like your final senior project in your major or majors. Mm-hmm. You write a dissertation that like is the culmination of what you've studied over those 4 years mm-hmm. and how you've applied it to X project. For me, it was a performance. It was a play, and I wrote a dissertation on the play that I performed.
Did you both go to private major. Colleges?
We both went to private liberal arts colleges.
I was like, that's where I was.
We both have bachelors of arts.
I think it's part of the like liberal arts situation where you just
went to very similar schools. Yeah,
Small liberal arts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had 2 majors, 2 minors. So I wrote 2 dissertations.
Holy moly.
I know. I went nuts for a second.
Yeah. I majored in anthropology and sociology. Yeah, and I minored in studio art.
I put on the play Reckless by Craig Lucas. And my friend Megan Mashiko directed it. And a bunch of people were in it. And I was the lead role. And then I wrote a dissertation comparing Craig Lucas's Reckless to the writing of Alice in Wonderland.
Wow.
And that was sort of my thing. And so
what were your majors and minors?
I did English and theater and then psychology and teacher education.
Wow.
I know. Wow.
English.
Well, here's the thing. I ended up doing early childhood ed, but I was told at one point that I couldn't get a high school teaching degree with a major that was in not in a core subject because I was doing theater. And I just freaked out that that wasn't going to be allowed to me. So I quickly added an English degree to it. I didn't really want to do that. And then I ended up being early childhood anyway. But there was a point in like my education. Education can only be a minor because you have to have something you can teach. Uh-huh. There's one point where I was like, oh, I just don't want to be limited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That's how I did it. And psych, I just really loved.
Yeah. I like psych too.
Yeah. Psych classes were so fun for me. Funsies. I had a psych book of psych experiments for which I had to buy for a class. And I had to read like 10 of them and there were maybe like 400 of them in here. I read the thing cover to cover. I thought it was fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You know all the things now.
I mean, that was like 12 years ago or something.
They're in there somewhere.
They're in there somewhere, but they're behind like Fairy Smut, June and Poppy's preschool schedule, what we're having for dinner this week. Are there any good sales going on? So they're deep. They're deep.
I hear that.
Deep back there.
I hear that. And Becky, you did broadcast
journalism.
Yeah. So I was a double major freshman to junior year. But then since both required before and after school things, I had to pick senior year. So I just dropped.
What did you pick?
Theater. I just dropped the broadcasting to a completed minor. So I basically just had like senior classes minor classes.
Yeah.
And then I did summer school because it was also, you had to have like X amount of hours in the week to do things that I didn't have.
Wow. That's intense.
It was a lot of school.
College is intense.
College is intense. I also love that you both did theater. I feel like everybody that is in like my inner circle right now did theater.
I could not be caught dead.
Not theater.
She's like, not me.
I was never one to be on stage. I would actually have nightmares about it. Like, it just somebody making me memorize lines or something like that. Like, I would have nightmares about getting up on a stage and nobody ever told me the lines.
That's a common one. That's a very straightforward nightmare. Yeah. I'm with you. That does sound scary.
Yeah. I never put myself in that position, I think, because I was so scared of that. Yeah. And I wasn't a terrible memorizer. Like I could memorize things in like science class.
Yeah.
You know, but I could never memorize like poems or
dialogue like that. Dialogue's hard too, because you basically memorize 2 things.
Yeah.
Right.
The line before and then yours. Yeah. Huh. I used to write them. I would write the whole play out. Yeah. That's how I memorized, by writing. Like the physical act of writing would like burn it into my memory. Yeah. So my senior play, I must have written that thing 4 or 5 times. The whole thing, cover to finish.
I'm curious, like, what brings you joy when you're on stage? Like, what is it about theater that, like, I want to know what it is that like gives you excitement when you're up there, because all I get is fear, you know?
Imagine the opposite. Instead of fear, you like it.
Yeah.
But like, what do you like?
It's like a positive adrenaline rush.
Yeah, totally. Oh. And I think what I like about it is owning the room, you really? Know, like you get up on stage and you're playing a part, and it's like the feeling of owning the attention of X amount of people, both the people you're on stage with and the people in the audience, feels really powerful or exciting or good. Mm-hmm. And tapping into someone else's life and emotions is super fun. Like sometimes I think when I did theater, I was even more like mentally, psychologically balanced, because I was so balanced in my real life because I could act out the highs and lows of other people's stories in a way that then played into making my own life feel so stable. Because I was like just, you know, sobbing over whatever or like, you know, I don't know. It was like, it was so stabilizing for me, IRL.
Interesting. Yeah. You're sort of like leaving your own problems and...
And just trying on other people's problems that don't actually affect your life, like, and their joys and their happiness, or their crazy, or their sexuality, or their, it's fun.
And when you're in that situation, you're getting like immediate feedback too, whether you're doing well or not, you know? And so when you're doing well, you only get like even, you like get more high, you know, off of the excitement.
I at least always felt like when I was really engaged in something that was challenging, I would get into like kind of a flow state or a zone where like it was almost happening around me and with me rather than me controlling it.
Yeah, you're not like consciously thinking about it. It's just sort of...
You kind of like drop into it. Yeah, and then you're like just
muscle memory.
Yeah, because you've rehearsed it for months and months and months, and you've been playing around with it and you've done all the homework. So you just kind of drop into this thing, and it's not like you're like, oh, I wonder what my line is. It's just coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think what scares me is what Keith does, which is improv.
That
is like, I'm like, Miles is laughing because he's like, it's easy, bro. I'm just kidding.
Good Miles impression.
I know. Great Miles impression, bro. I'm really good at really capturing exactly how people sound. It's just pretty much... Miles is like, here's advice, it'll go for miles.
Let's nail that. Yeah, that's really good.
Thank you. Thank
Improv
you.
I'm sure is
a 10-year-old girl.
Who's a little too sassy for her own smoked. She drank whiskey this morning.
Yeah, she had a little whiskey. Yeah, that like terrifies me. Like I'm good at like making jokes and being like off the cuff with like people, like in conversation.
Yeah.
But to do it the way that like he does it is like next level, where at least sometimes I just watch him and I'm like, how are you even doing that?
Yeah.
Like when he makes up songs and stuff, I'm like, where is that coming from?
Yeah.
What part of your brain?
It's, you know, it's learned just like anything else.
It's also practice.
It's Keith practice, is so practice, practice. Yeah.
You know, he's like almost never stopped.
Never. Yeah.
Never.
Never.
And you know,
won't stop.
When you start, you're usually not very good at it. You know?
But I think that's what's different about Keith is he never did it, and then was just like, I'm gonna try it. This sounds fun, and was just good.
Some
I mean, he's certainly gotten better, but he definitely like started good.
Keith was just built for a captive audience.
Yeah,
so true.
Yeah. You know, I don't care what he's doing, singing, improvising, performing something he knows, cooking, whatever, doing a facial, whatever. He was just built for a captive audience.
Yeah.
It's that third child syndrome.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember when we lived in Chicago, Ned would take like improv classes, you know, and you guys have all been to the horrible just improv shows that the late night ones that are like the people are still learning. And I remember he took a making up song class, you know, like a class that actually taught you how to make up songs on the fly.
Keith was teaching it.
I wish. We did not know each other at the time.
The other crazy thing about Keith, last thing to toot his own horn, no classes. That bitch didn't take classes. No, he taught classes.
Stop.
Bitch never took
he's
a class.
He's a natural.
He
literally is.
He like learned by doing and was like, yeah,
That is so funny. Because I remember when, not like before Ned took this class and after Ned took this class, complete change in like a lot of his, like on
performance,
like, performance work. Because he could make up songs now. He like knew how to do it because there's actually a formula to doing it.
Yeah, of course.
You think of the last word and then try to rhyme the, like, so like as you're doing it, you're like, okay, I'm going to use this word in like the second sentence. So now I have to make up this sentence, like the first one and rhyme with that word. And then I can say whatever I want and then that word and it'll be great, you know? Yeah. And I was just like, my mind was blown. Like, this is amazing. That's this is how Keith's it all brain works. That's just how Keith's brain works.
I don't know where.
Literally where all the time on set, I'll be like, Keith, sing us a song. And he just does.
100%. Yeah.
He just does. Without hesitation, he just starts singing. And it has like melody and like, it's really good. Musically, it's really good. But also there are lyrics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Incredible. He'll help me. We'll be singing in the car to just like something silly. And there's this two-story McDonald's that got built like near us. And so we sing the song about two-story McDonald's. And I can never remember the lines. And he'll slowly be like, too much McDonald's for just one story. I always sing too much story for just one McDonald's.
I like it both ways.
Yeah.
I like the rendition. The remix.
The remix, yeah. But he'll just sing all the time.
Yeah.
Ariel, I think you need to take an improv class. I think it sounds like you like it.
But
from what I'm hearing, you forgot the
beginning of that conversation where I am so, so scared to like.
But maybe that's why you should do it, is because you conquering your fear will gift you so much.
Yeah. You know, I've thought about it before. I really
do it.
I have. I've thought about taking an improv class because I've thought that it would like improve my confidence in front of other people.
Yeah. It's a good life skill.
It is a good life skill.
You'll learn to say yes more.
I will learn to say, you know,
yes
just,
and.
Just
and.
Living with Ned and the boys, honestly, like that has taught me to say yes more. And that actually, like, that's one of the things that I take in life is just like say yes. Yeah. But I feel like the moment has passed.
Never.
All right.
Comment down below if you think Ariel should sign up for an improv class.
Everyone vote.
I will take an improv class if you do it with me.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Excellent.
All right. Great.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Yes, and.
When should we go? We will report back. We're going to go to IO. Nope. IO's gone.
IO's dead.
We're going to go to improv. Nope. That's the same thing. We're going to go to, what's the place called?
Second City still exists, I think.
Yeah, let's not tell them where we're going.
We're not going to tell you where we're going.
We'll
go to Keith and Ned's school.
Keith, Ned, and Miles. of improv.
Easy. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to us this week and sitting with us. We're so happy that you do.
And tell us what movie was your sexual awakening. Miles really wants to know.
Miles really wants to know.
Miles is real curious, ladies.
Going to get me canceled.
I think we found Miles's.
He's so embarrassed, you guys.
Tagline for the episode or the title.
What's your sexual awakening?
Miles wants to know.
What was your sexual awakening, ladies?
Women?
No, thank you.
Oh, so creepy.
Make sure you're downloading, subscribing, liking, commenting, reviewing, washing your hands, wearing your masks, getting vaccinated and boosted, being nice to people, peeing after sex.
She's so good at
that. Was there any other ones that we forgot?
Those are the major ones.
Tip your servers and your Uber drivers and your Postmates people.
Work hard.
Yeah, work hard, play hard, baby. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.